Klal Yisrael is made up of all different kinds of people. You know, if you walk around an old city, you walk around Tzfas, you walk around various different areas in Yerushalayim, you notice that not all the people who are walking around were necessarily born Jewish. You have many Geirim, you have people even from African countries who are Geirim, an African prince who became a Geir. It's from all over. It's all over. And Klal Yisrael... And Klal Yisrael do not withhold Geirus from any nation b'chlal. Do not withhold Geirus from any nation. There are nations that we have to kill if you know who they are, like Amalek. But if any person wants to become a Jew and he is sincere about becoming a Geir and he is sincere about Kabbalah's old mitzvahs, we will not refuse him. If Lahavdil Elef Abdolos, let's say Rahman al Islam, Hitler decides to become a Geir the last day of his life. Let's say. Okay, Hitler. He killed 6 million Jews and decided, you know what, I'm crazy. And he is crazy. So, you know, he'll be Chayv Misa, but he'll be a Jew with Chayv Misa. If he went through a process of absolute Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, okay? Absolute Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. And he went through a process of Mila and Tevila, he's a Geir. He's a Jew. I wouldn't necessarily want to have him on my Shabbos table if I had the choice. But I have a mitzvah, I have to mesager. I have a mitzvah to love him, I have a mitzvah to respect him, a mitzvah to honor him to the extent that the Torah tells us again and again and again to respect and to love a ger. In this week's parasha, we have a mitzvah which is a very, very unusual mitzvah. In a posuk, in Perek Chof Gimel Posuk Dalet, the posuk says as follows: Le'yavoi amoini umoyavi bekal Hashem. And Amoyni Amoyovi should not become a Kahal Hashem. Now, Bekal Hashem means they may not marry in to Kahal Hashem. Okay? They can become Geirim, but they cannot marry in to Kahal Hashem. Gam Doira Siri, even 10th generation, Lo Yovi Lehem, they may not come in, Bekal Hashem, Ad Olam forever. In other words, Amoyni Amoyovi may never, ever marry into Klal Yisrael. They may marry into themselves, they may marry into other Geirim or Mamzerim perhaps. I'll get into all the exact details of who they can and who they can't marry, but they certainly cannot marry into anyone born Jewish in a regular kosher form. And therefore, they may never ever marry in. Now, why is that? Says a pasuk. The reason is because they did not come out to offer you bread and water, b'derech b'tzeischem in Mitzrayim, and left Mitzrayim. Number one. And because they hired Bilam ben Be'or mipsoir around the harayim, they call lekor from psoir around the harayim to curse you. In other words, there's two reasons why they cannot marry in. Number one, because they did not offer up hospitality when you're leaving Mitzrayim, which was expected. And secondly, they hired Bilam ben Be'or to kill you and by his curse. It says, possibly, Ovay Hashem lekechel shmeir Bilam. Hashem did not listen to Bilam. But Yafay Hashem lekechel lachos haklol lebrocha. Okay, Hifra Hashem lekechel Hashem loved you. Nothing happened. Leisidroish shloimam v'tivosan kol yomechel la'olam. Never ever seek out their good. Okay, carries on the pasuk. However, loy sisayv adoimi ki achichohu. Do not push away completely an Edomite. Edom is who we consider our arch enemies. Esav ki achichohu. He's your brother. Loisisayv Mitzri, did not push away a Mitzri forever. Ki ger hayisi v'artzoi, because you were a ger in their land. Boni mashi voldulahem doir shlishi, means a grandchild of any of these gerim, a ger who is from a Mitzri, his grandchild may marry in, so to an Edomite, yovoi lehem mekal Hashem, can marry into Klal Yisrael. Now Rabbi Yisrael, let's understand this carefully. This pasuk tells us, Amoini and Moavi may never ever marry into Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they're not hospitable, and they hide Bilam to curse us. Says the Torah, but you should just know, nothing really happened. Nothing terrible happened. Now, in our rich history of horrendous, horrendous persecution, execution, Holocaust, did Amon and Moab do that bad to us compared to everyone else? Compared even to a regular country like Spain. What did Spain do to us? There were the expulsions, and they were burning in the city centres. It's terrible stuff. What did Amon and Moab do to us? Technically, what did it do to us in a Jewish nation? Very little, very little. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so passionate about them not marrying into Klal Yisrael that makes an issa about them more than anyone else. Everyone made us suffer. That's first of all. I mean, look at Mitzrayim. Look at Mitzrayim. What did Mitzrayim do to us? For 210 years, they made a concentration camp. No less. No less. There were children being thrown into the Nile. The Jews being executed. The Jews being tortured. It was slave labor for 210 years. You know what? Nah, no big deal. After three generations, they can marry in. How does that compare to people not offering us water and bread when we leave Mitzrayim? They cursed us. Big deal. They didn't offer us bread. Big deal. Mitzrayim tortured us. Edoim. Who's Edoim? Edoim are Esau, the Nazis, right? Nazis, you know what? We can deal with them. They can marry into the Jewish nation eventually. Fine. But Ammon and Moab, no chance. Why? They weren't hospitable. Yeah, they cursed you. But nothing happened. What's going on over here? So Rashi gives us a very, very interesting shot. Rashi says as follows. Now, I mentioned this before, but I want to just bring it out in a very, very strong, in a very strong way. Imagine certain airlines where you can choose your seat as you go on. Yeah, EasyJet, certain airlines where you don't, not pre-assigned seats. Now imagine you are flying from Eretz Yisrael to America. It's an 11-hour, 12-hour flight. And as you get on the flight, there's only two seats left. Only two seats left on the entire flight. One seat is next to a huge neo-Nazi. He has a tattoo of a swastika tattooed on his forehead. He has, you know, he's reading, I know, the Protocols of Elders of Zion or Mein Kampf or something. And, you know, he's sitting there with a tattoo of a Jew with an axe through his head. You know, it's a Judenrein. And he's cursing at every Jew he sees. And now that is one alternative, one choice where to sit. The other choice of where to sit is next to a very, very friendly, smiley gentleman. He's wearing a cap that says Mormon's Mission to Jerusalem 2010. Yeah? And he extends the warmth to you. Please sit down, be my guest. You know, would you like a drink? I've got some extra drink. Who would you decide? Who would you choose to sit next to? I know I would. You know, I know I would, right?
You have to sit, you can't stand.
You have to sit. You have to sit. Where would you choose? Says Rashi.
You beat up the Mormon and send the Nazi.
Says Rashi, "Bomi mashi voldu lehem dor shlishi, v'sha hu umois motorim miyad." The other umois may marry in immediately. Hola madato, sha machti leodom koshloi min horgoi. A person who makes a person sin is worse than a person who kills. In other words, Ammon and Moav made Klal Yisrael sin. They made them sin with the Bnois Moav. They made them sin, and Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, fell a tremendous level in ruchnius through Bnois Moav. A person who actually kills an oilem hazeh. V'hamachtiyoi, but a person makes somebody sin. Moitziyim min oilem hazeh u'min ha'oilem habo. He takes him out from oilem hazeh and oilem habo. He kills him in both worlds. Lefikoch, therefore, Edoim shekodmon b'cherev leindintayv. Edoim that came out to us with a cherev, wanted to kill us. Don't push him away. V'chei Mitzrayim shetovu, Mitzrayim that drowned our kids. You know, we can forgive and forget. But those people make a sin. Nisavu forever, they have to be pushed away. Now this is a very strong focus. You have a choice to have a community club open next to you. You know, and the council's giving you a choice either to have a Ku Klux Klan brotherhood next to you, or a missionary house. You have to choose the Ku Klux Klan. That is the halacha. So they kill you. You know what? You live in the next world. You die a Kiddush Hashem. Shoin. Big deal. But a person who can take a Jewish child and make him, Rachman al-Itzlan, into a goy, he is killed in the Olam Hazeh and in the Olam Abo. So the Ammon and Moav are far, far worse than Mitzrayim. Ammon and Moav, don't say in a posuk why, but Ammon and Moav ultimately made us suffer more than Mitzrayim. And therefore Mitzrayim we can deal with, Ammon and Moav we cannot. Rav Cheskel Abramsky told a young Talmud Chacham came to visit him once in Russia, and he said that one time a mother came to him crying that her child had just been conscripted into the Russian army. And Nebuch, those kids went to the Russian army, they came back decades later holding absolutely nothing. And she asked Reb Cheskel Abramsky, please, I beg of you, Rebbe, daven that he should die. Daven that he should die. Because there's not chance that he'll be able to survive in this terrible, terrible environment. And Reb Cheskel Abramsky saw in front of his eyes, the mother and father take him into the Zakenim of the town and say, my child's a Ben Sora Moira. Yeah, Mama, she saw in front of her eyes. And Reb Cheskel Abramsky said, I'm not going to daven for that. I'm going to daven, he's going to remain in Elechid. And he davened, and they davened, and Baruch Hashem, the child remained in Elechid all the way through. This is somebody who is aware of what life is. My sister, when she's Mama, she lost a child on a car accident. And when she was standing around the child's bed, literally a few minutes before they turned the machines off, they had a psak, they were supposed to turn the machines off, because he was brain damaged, and again, you can't, each psak is different, but they had psak from the Gedolim. And she brought all the children with, Sheikh Knarr was a big fan, she brought them all around the bed, and they sang, and they said Divrei Torah, and she said, you should know, children, that this child, who's leaving us now, I prefer this, than the child, Rachmana Litzlan, who goes off the derech and doesn't keep Shabbos. That's what she said. Right? Nebuch, a child who doesn't keep Shabbos, a child who goes off the derech, one's got to cry. It's mamish, it is an absolutely terrible, terrible thing. We've got to do everything we can. Would we do everything we can to save a child's life? A person's drowning, would say, no, you know, it's not for me. It's not for you. Go out. If you can save the child, do everything you can. If we can save a child going off the derech, is there anything less? Nebuch is dying in this world and in the next world. And therefore, that's the first lesson in this week's parasha. Mitzrayim, we can forgive. Edoy, we can forget about. But what we cannot forget about, and we cannot forgive, is Moav that made us sin. That is worse than anything. That's number one. The next mahalach I want to go on is as follows. And this really is a merger between a vort from Nissan Alput and a Dubna Magid. Now let's give the background to this. The Dubna Magid, as you all know, was a tremendous Magid. And his Mesholim are bought in Mishle Yaakov, bought many others for him. And the Dubna Magid was once traveling, and he decided, you know what, that's it. People are really getting to him, he can't sit and learn. He wants time out. He wants to go to time to learn by himself, to disappear. Nobody should see where he is, know who he is, just disappear. So he decided to leave town, not to let anyone where he's going, and go to a town he's never ever been to before, that nobody recognizes him. As he comes to the town, he goes to the inn, and he puts his stuff down, and the innkeeper says, listen, I can quickly show you your room, but I've really got to get going. The Dubna Magid has come to town, and he's giving us a shir. This is crazy. You know, news gets around in the mikveh very quickly. Yeah, but this, you know, he hasn't even been around town. Everyone knows the Dubna Magid is in town. How does anyone know? He's disguised himself. Nobody knows who he is. Never been there before. How does people know? It's ridiculous. So then he realized that... that is another Dubna Magid. There's somebody who's taken his trademark and he's giving a shir pretending he's Dubna Magid. So that's interesting. Let's see what he has to say. So he goes to the shul and shul is packed out and he gets a seat right at the back of shul, and this Dubna Magid, quote unquote, starts walking up. Everyone stands up, gives him covered, and the person starts to give him the Dvar Torah. The first part was, first 5 minutes was excellent, and then he ran out of steam and he just starts talking gibberish. And he starts talking Amaratzes and starts talking Dvarim Asurim, and the Dubna Magid, you know, besides having to keep his reputation, you talk Mamashi, you can't allow such a person to talk. So he stands up and he says, you're not the Dubna Magid, I'm the Dubna Magid. And the man says, take him out, throw him out, these guys are charlatan, I'm the Dubna Magid, he's pretending to be Dubna Magid, and it's backwards and forwards. So what do you do? So there's one wise man. He said, listen, you know what we'll do? We'll take a random pasuk from this Sedra. And obviously the Dubna Magid, in his experience, and his chochman, his pikchus, he'll be able to bring out a message from that pasuk. This other man, highly unlikely he's going to bring out anything decent. Let's try it out. So they open up the chumash in that week's parasha, and he came to this pasuk. Lo yovay amoyni umayovi b'kal Hashem, gam dairasiri lo yovay b'kal Hashem, al dvarar shalakidma eschem lechem b'mayim. Brought up this pasuk. So Dubna Magid said, let the first person give a vote on that. Guy was stammering and stabbering, he couldn't get anything out. Dubna Magid said, I'll tell you pshat. And this is a very, very sharp pshat. It says as follows. He said, many, many people live in a land of excuses. They live in a land of excuses. You go to a person and you ask them, to give money for tzedakah. You know, I really would love to. Really, my heart is there, and I appreciate what you're doing. But you know what? It's been a very difficult financial year. Things have got very, very tough. And thus, in this financial environment, it's extremely difficult for me to extend myself. Okay? Fine. 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 You can understand that. But then, this very same person suddenly decides to buy himself a brand new car. And a beautiful new car. Or a new kitchen. Or he goes on a holiday to the Bahamas. Right? So what's going to happen when he comes up to Shemayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, why didn't he give tzedakah? Me gives a docker? I'd love to, but look at that financial environment. Look what's going on around the world. The whole world's falling apart. I can give a docker then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to him, yeah, and tell me, no money? Right, what about the Bahamas? What about the new car? What about the new kitchen? Says Dubna Magid, Al devash le kidma eschem balechem ubamayim. They did not come out to give you bread and water. Of course, there are 2 million people there. It's a tremendous financial strain. Go along to feed 2 million people. What do you expect from us? We couldn't afford it. Says a pasuk, you can't afford it. 1 second. Did you hire Bilam ben Boir? He wasn't a local import. He or somebody came up Ram Narayim and had to bring him all the way over. He had to pay him all his fees and all his travel expenses, and that he managed to afford. No. No, it doesn't fly with me. So that's a posuk. It's not pshat. Like a person comes to shul and he comes up and he says, you know what, darling, how was shul? So I'll tell you what the shul was like. I came there as a guest, right? Not only did I not get Shalom Aleichem, the gabba came and punched him in the nose. Yeah, this is a posuk. Not only did not come at Lechem of Amayim, they came to curse us. Right? So Kom Tubna Makit Pshat is, that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to test every person. He's going to test you with a mitzvah, and then he's going to test you with something else, and let's see how you manage with that. A person's too tired to go out for Marav. I'm exhausted. Can't possibly have Marav at home. So he makes one of these rushed Maravs at home. About to go up to bed, all of a sudden he gets a ring at the doorbell, and his best friend has just come over, you know, just come over from overseas, a surprise visit. And he's schmoozing with him like there's no tomorrow. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they're schmoozing and they're laughing and they're playing games. What happened? What happened? You're exhausted. You couldn't even get out the front door. That is what's going to happen. That's your excuse? Okay. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to trip you up. That's the Dubna Magid's Peshat. Listen, Alpert says it slightly differently. Listen, Alpert says this in behavior, not necessarily in action. Listen to this very, very beautiful Peshat. He says, the problem with us, with Amon and Moyov, is not the lack of hospitality. We don't expect goyim who aren't particularly friendly with us to be hospitable. We don't expect it. We don't expect them to come out with crumpets and hot tea when you're going through passing through the land. It's not a taina that you can't marry them because it didn't come out with the buttered scones. That's not the idea. You know, come just tea time there, where are they? Forget it. Never may marry them. No, that's not the idea. The idea over here is a much, much deeper idea. According to many Mefarshim, they weren't supposed to actually give the water and bread free. They were supposed to come out and offer to sell the bread and water. The Ramban offered to sell, and it didn't do that either. Why not? Pshat is that they hated Klal Yisrael so much that they're willing to spite themselves and not earn money just that Klal Yisrael shouldn't gain some fresh bread. I'm willing to make my economy suffer just in order that they shouldn't gain. That is wickedness. That is cruel to the very core. That is Amon Amoyov. You know, Mitzrayim wasn't as bad. Mitzrayim, they were afraid. Jews will outnumber them. Penyukrona Mechoma, Vyeskamo Asaneinu. They were afraid. Pan. Who knows what will happen? Let's enslave them. Let's kill their males because they may be Mashiach. But that's all for our personal interests. But when it comes to doing something, lahachis, doing something against Klal Yisrael for no personal gain, in fact they're going to lose by it, this is bad. That is wicked. That is so wicked that we may never ever have any contact with these people again.